Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. More than 12% of American women face breast cancer at some point, and when they do, they're often given a choice. Do you want just a lumpectomy, which removes the area of the tumor, or do you want a mastectomy, which removes the full breast? The most extensive option is the removal of both breasts, even though one might be healthy. That's often followed by surgery to reconstruct both breasts, and more women are choosing this option, which is causing some concern among cancer specialists. Carrie Goldberg is here to tell us more. She's the editor of WBUR's Common Health blog. Welcome, Carrie.
Thank you, Deb.
So how big is this increase in women choosing these double mastectomies?
So it is big. According to a new paper in the journal Annals of Surgery, the number of women who have cancer in one breast but choose to have both breasts removed tripled over the course of a decade from 2002 to 2012. And we should note that was before Angelina Jolie's very high-profile surgery boosted the numbers even more. So we went from about maybe 4% of breast cancer patients choosing to have double mastectomies to about 12%. And more than half of those who get the double mastectomies are now also getting reconstruction as well.
Well, it seems that it would be pretty understandable that if you have a scary diagnosis like this, and something says you're prone to breast cancer, you might opt for the maximum response. So why are specialists concerned?
Right. So it's absolutely understandable. The crux of the problem is that the same data that show us how many more women are choosing double mastectomies also show us that even though this is a major operation, overall it's not really improving their long-term chances for survival. So here's Dr. Mehra Golshan. He's the distinguished chair in surgical oncology at Brigham and Women's Hospital, and he's the senior author of this big new study, more than 500,000 women, that found that tripling in the rate of women choosing what's called contralateral, meaning the opposite breast, prophylactic, meaning preventive mastectomy. So preventive removing of the opposite breast.
It's tripled, and that's despite many efforts by the oncology community, whether it's surgeon, medical oncologist, to discuss the pros and cons of contralateral prophylactic mastectomy in terms of whether this is going to improve a patient's outcome. And when I say outcome, the number one concern for my patients is them living and their survival. And if I can't say that removing the opposite breast is going to achieve that, well, is that something that a woman should go through? And, you know, it's a very difficult and a very personal decision, but our research basically showing that, if anything, it's increasing and not slowing down.
And Deb, just one note about this. If a woman tests positive for one of the BRCA mutations, which dramatically raise your risk for breast and ovarian cancer.
And that's the genetic mutation.
Yes, a genetic mutation. Then double mastectomy does seem to improve the odds of survival. The trouble is that most of the women making this choice do not have one of those genetic mutations.
So then what do we know about why they might make this choice then to have a healthy breast removed if it doesn't really improve their odds of survival? Right.
So for a sense of that, I spoke with one of Dr. Golshan's patients. Her name is Ellen Collins. She was diagnosed with this very aggressive breast cancer back in 2010 when she was just 41 and her kids were really little. They were in kindergarten and second grade. She opted for the double mastectomy with reconstruction, and she says she has no regrets about it at all. She says she took lots of factors into consideration.
The number one was peace of mind. I knew that I wouldn't have to go to another mammogram again and have it all come tumbling back into the forefront of what I experienced. The second piece is body and self-image, confidence, and improved self-esteem. And the third piece is spirit, so mind, body, spirit, the faith piece, that I did everything possible to never have cancer reoccur again.
And you can totally understand how you would want to feel that way, right? I did everything I could. But here's the interesting tension. So she's a happy patient of Dr. Golshan's, and he supports her choice. And by the way, breast reconstruction has gotten a lot better, so it's not surprising that more women are choosing it. But at the same time, when Dr. Golshan looks at the big picture, he and other cancer specialists do see a problem with it. Recently, Dr. Shelley Wong, who's the chief of breast surgery at the Duke Cancer Institute, told the Washington Post, and I quote, quote, breast surgeons as a community are very worried about women using this kind of surgery to alleviate anxiety. Surgery is meant to cure a biological problem, not make people feel less anxious. Hmm.
So a patient is exercising her choice. Insurance pays for it, but still they're troubled?
Right. And we should note, it's kind of amazing that American health insurance will right. pay for anything willingly, but they do. The problem is that it is a choice, but it carries a high risk of complications. And as we've been saying, it doesn't generally improve the outlook for survival, even though it so seems like it should, right? Like, it's one of those counterintuitive cancer things. Dr. Gulshan explained that the risk of cancer in the other breast is very low, and usually it's cancer coming back elsewhere, like in the brain or the liver or the bone that patients will die of if they die. So to the medical mindset, it's looking, well, here's how Shoshana Rosenberg, a researcher at the Center for Women's Cancers at Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, describes it.
From, you know, a purely medical perspective, this is a medically unnecessary surgery. It does not improve your outcome. It does not improve your survival. So you're doing, you know, an aggressive medical procedure that doesn't really improve a medical outcome. But at the same time, you know, you want to empower, you know, women to be in charge of their medical choices. And for some women, it might be the right decision. You have that, again, that tension between it's medically unnecessary, but it's a choice. And for some women, it might be the right decision.
So it's a tough one, right? Mm. There is this tension. Shoshana Rosenberg is doing research on what goes into this decision. We already know, studies have already found out that you're likelier to choose this double mastectomy with reconstruction if you're younger and if you're white. And work that she published last month found that in women under 40 who were diagnosed with breast cancer, and these were women who tested negative for those BRCA genetic mutations, still over half of them chose to have both breasts removed.
Mm. So when you say cancer specialists are concerned, are they saying women should not have this choice to be able to do this?
No. They are not. They are most definitely not saying women should not have their choice. The consensus is that this should be an individual choice. And just as some patients, you know, they have some say on whether they get a lumpectomy or a mastectomy. But what the cancer specialists are saying is that this big trend suggests that maybe there needs to be improved communication with patients. And Shoshana Rosenberg is working on that.
I think that we've learned that there's probably the potential to improve communication as a possible way, you know, of kind of helping ensure doctors communicate information about the risks and benefits of every, you know, each type of surgery to patients who understandably are at a very emotionally and anxiety filled time, especially for the younger women. Ultimately, you know, our plan is to develop and test the decision aid, you know, a tool to help.
So Carrie, what would that decision aid or what would that conversation sound like?
What would it sound like? For a sense of that, I turn to David Ropeek. He's an instructor at Harvard and an expert on risk communication. And he wrote the book, How Risky Is It Really? Why Our Fears Don't Always Match the Facts, which they very often don't. And in fact, cancer in general and breast cancer in particular carry a very high fear factor, right? Because we hear about it often in the news and we tend to still think of the C word as sounding like a death sentence. And it sounds like it involves pain and suffering and powerlessness. So he says a conversation with a patient has to acknowledge that fear and also, though, the fact that prolonged fear can be bad for you, bad for your quality of life and your health even. So he suggests a script like this for a doctor.
You face two potential harms. One is to leave your other breast alone because there's no clinical reason to remove it. But deal with fear, which causes stress, which has health effects, but which you can deal with. And over time, you will deal with. You will go on with your life, and most of the time, you won't be thinking about that. Or you can have your other breast removed with all of the physical complications of that and the potential, low but real, for side effects. That's the other harm that you face. So the question you really need to ask yourself is, if you leave the breast on, be very honest. Over the course of your life, continuing to have your breast examined to make sure there's nothing popping up and doing other things to deal with the stress, do you think, really, that you will be really seriously poisoned by chronic worry and stress over time, not just now when it's really scary, but over time? And if you think that you can adjust to that stress, then the choice focuses back on doing something that's not clinically called for just because you're afraid.
And Ropeek says the challenge is to frame the question to the patient in a supportive and a clarifying way, but not to try to answer it or decide for them. He says this really does obviously need to be an individual choice.
This is a very personal thing in the end, and no doctor or medical provider can really make that call for people. And the more they acknowledge that and how they deal with people, the more their framing will carry weight with that patient.
So, Deb, it'll be interesting to see if the discussion does become more like what David Ropeek is advising. Will that end up changing the rate of double mastectomies?
Now, Carrie, you posted your story about double mastectomies on our Common Health blog. What kind of response have you seen?
Well, many, many different kinds of responses. And Deb, I really want to note here, breast cancer is really complicated. There are all different kinds with different treatments and different outcomes. So this research that I reported on is by no means meant to be the last word on any individual patient's choice. That's all about talking with your medical team. But, you know, that said, there were women who'd had a healthy breast removed and they were happy about that decision and defending it. There were other women who did not have the healthy breast removed and they were also happy with that decision. There was a bit of a debate over whether health insurance should pay for reconstruction.
Because that could be essentially considered cosmetic, is that right?
Right. And so there was some argument debate about that. And there seemed to be sort of like feminists on both sides of that issue. Like some were saying, well, of course it should be paid for because it's the equivalent of having your face damaged in an accident. And so you're just getting it fixed afterwards. That's not really cosmetic surgery. Other people were talking about how women shouldn't feel like they need to have breasts in order to feel beautiful, that it's all part of the sort of fetishization of breasts into sexual objects in our society, in our culture.
We'll leave that one online.
Yeah, let's leave it online. Yeah.
Okay. Carrie Goldberg, editor of WBUR's Common Health blog. You can find a link to her post on this topic at our website, radioboston.org. Carrie, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.
Stay with us. Coming up, best-selling author Jacqueline Michard on her latest novel. I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.